to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I am joined once again by my husband, Pastor Roger Robbins, in the studio. And today we're going to be talking about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple.
Wow. Come on. I'm a disciple. Are you?
Yes.
I'm like so a disciple of Jesus. Yeah. And for all those listening today, we encourage you. We're going to like really stir this up.
We're going to stir the pot a little bit, I think.
Because this theme is kind of a trend we're going on, like being a Christian. Yep. What does it mean?
Right.
Right.
Two weeks ago was what does it mean to be a Christian?
Right. And then last week, like what is evangelism? Like the outworkings, inner and outer.
Yeah.
Working of the Holy Spirit of the gospel.
Yeah.
And then this week, discipleship, personal, practical, one-on-one.
Yeah. Oh, and we are not recording this live, but we want to wish everybody a happy Labor Day.
Yes.
If you're watching on Labor Day in America.
Right. Your cookout, your family.
Yeah.
Get the football out. The whole thing. I'm excited to do it. We haven't been around it for Labor Day in a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be really hot.
Yes.
So it's going to be good. So, yes, let's just dive right in because I think the time's going to go quick. And we have a lot on our hearts, I think, about this topic. It's very near and dear to us for a lot of reasons. So really, maybe you can just define for us.
Sure.
You know, what is a disciple?
Yes. So, with the word, like maybe in Christian circles, it's so closely connected to, you know, being born again, right? Like, but outside of the Christian community, because that's what makes a disciple of Jesus, a true disciple, being born again,
mm-hmm.
like it said, like Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, but outside of that, like I was doing a little research about the Greek word, and I'm reminded that the Greek word doesn't give the idea that the word disciple means you're a Christian.
Right. It's used in other contexts.
Yes.
Yes.
And we see that the word disciple, even in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had many disciples, but they left him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He even said that one of my disciples is the devil, Judas.
Yeah.
So, like, the word disciple doesn't technically mean that you're a born-again Christian.
Mm.
So, but we are speaking, and I think we want to just encourage those who are listening. First of all, if you're not born again, this is, like, step one. And that step being so the overarching number one to this. And now the process of being a disciple of Christ or— remember a couple of weeks ago, followers of the way,
mm-hmm.
the word disciple is a learner, a pupil, or like someone who is under. And then the other idea is like student, right? So there's a basic definition of disciple. And we were talking earlier, and I think we should just bring it up now.
Yeah.
This whole idea of apprenticeship, like to be a disciple is to be an apprentice. So what is an apprentice?
Okay, so I thought that was just very helpful because, like you said, the word disciple is used so much in Christian circles. And it's one of those words that, like love or grace, can start to lose shape because it's used so often and by so many different people. And so I was thinking about you. So for those who don't know, Roger is a carpenter by trade. And when you first started out, you were a nobody. You didn't know anything about the trade.
Like all of us.
Like all of us. And
born in this world, didn't know anything.
But you decided, you were like, I'm going to go for this.
Yes.
And so you decide, well, I think the Lord in his grace brought to you an amazing master carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that even within that, they use that master carpentry. Like we don't use that in a lot of career paths anymore.
Mm-hmm. Master electrician.
Master electrician. Plumber. In the trades, they still use this word master. And I really like it. And then they use, you know, apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so appropriate to this concept because a disciple is somebody, like you were saying earlier, like we have chosen this path. Like it's not a career by worldly definition, but we have chosen a path for our life, which is that we want to follow Christ. Like we've chosen that path. And in choosing that, we then need to choose who our master is. And there's first, okay, our master is Christ, like he is our Lord. And then within our church community, mm-hmm. we're choosing somebody who we respect, who is experienced, who has shown themselves to be wise and seasoned was a word that you had used.
Yes.
And we want to become their apprentice in the sense that we want to learn the way, we want to learn our trade from somebody who's gone before us.
Well, and it's like this, I have decided, like, right? Like,
yeah.
to follow Jesus, right? Like, we saw the baptisms a couple weeks ago, and yeah. they sang that song. Like, there was
it's
like
the next step.
Yeah, it was these little apprentices getting dropped in the water.
Yeah.
And pulled up.
Yeah.
Seeing that new life. And they're like, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to, like, take upon this yoke.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about the easy yoke, but it's like, it is still something that we will carry.
Yeah.
And we will be. You
yeah,
know, like
it's a man. It's like a mandate.
A
it's
t-shirt.
A mission. Mm-hmm. It's work. Like it is work to be done.
So,
and I think the important difference between an apprentice and maybe like the word student could have a different meaning. Like I'm picturing like, okay, there could be like a lecture hall in a university and there's, you know, the professor at the front and he's lecturing to 500 students.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as an apprentice who's working alongside, you know, the master carpenter, for example, in his workshop or at the job site. It's very different. So I think a disciple, yes, we are students, but it's not an academic knowledge. Like we're not just gaining mm-hmm. knowledge
mm-hmm.
because we know knowledge just puffs up, but it's that we're like right there next to this person, learning from them as they do, as they live, as they speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really helpful picture for those who maybe have kind of lost the sense of what does it even mean?
Yes.
And the other thing I think is worth pointing out is Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. And you think about the people just getting baptized, right? Who've said, I have decided to follow Jesus. They're not quite ready to go and make a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just getting started. So the work of discipleship leads to people who then go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
So it's like a path moving forward. And the hope is that you're moving into a place
yes.
where you can then be the master who
right.
is discipling.
Right. right. And I think that's like this apprenticeship. So we have this verse for the week that's going to come through each and every day with a couple different speakers as the program goes.
Yeah.
And the verse is Matthew 6:16-24. And I'll read the verse. It says, and then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Mm.
Then Jesus told his disciples. So Jesus told his disciples, he knew them, he singled them out, he called them,
yeah.
he asked them to follow. And these apprentices had another trade. And I think that's also like, let's define this in today's world.
Yeah.
Right. We were talking about this. Like, let's define this in a world that, like, okay, what is it? I want to bring in this word to master. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So with apprentice comes master.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs a master. You know, everyone's got a master.
Mm-hmm.
Your master could be an addiction, it could be something negative, it could be a sin, it could be yourself.
Yeah.
It could be a person, an idol, a thing,
yeah.
right? A time in life, a season, you know, a day or week. It could be the weekend. My master is the weekend. You know, like, what is
living
your,
for the weekend, right? Is real.
What is your, what is your master?
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, okay, I'm an apprentice, but let's like, hold on a second. What is my master?
That's a so important, because I think, just having a recent conversation with a friend, that we are all serving something.
Yes.
And if you are not wise and you are not, intentional, then your life will run you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think even more so in 2023, we find our lives are, can be so driven by outside forces. And if we aren't the ones who sit with the Lord and humble ourselves like an apprentice humbles himself before a master and asks, what should I do with my time?
Right.
Then our time will be consumed.
Yes.
Without us knowing it. So just acknowledging that you have a master, whoever's listening, even if you haven't thought about it, you do.
And that's how we can boil this whole idea of discipleship down. And being a disciple, let's reorient, like get our minds focused on, okay, I'm going to single out right now what my master is. Mm-hmm. So master didaskalos, like this beautiful word, like is like the common Greek word, right? And then there's kurios, which is Lord. Mm-hmm. So my Lord, my master. So we see that Jesus became the master, and he was the master, not only the master, but he was the master teacher, which is also where the word is closely connected to. Mm-hmm. So your master is also your teacher, right? Like he's the one, or she's the one, or the thing is the one giving information, right? Giving fact, giving truth.
Yep.
Jesus said, I'm going to go, but the Holy Spirit will guide you in the all truth. He will comfort you. So Jesus has never left us alone without a master, right? But think about the master as the driving force, the leader in your life.
Yeah.
So then the question is, based upon who my master is going to affect my apprenticeship, right? Like, it's going to directly impact like the trajectory of who I will be. Mm-hmm. So if my master is this, I will conform to that.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is a real awakening moment. It definitely.
Yes.
So, okay. Now let's speak to like believers, to those who have put their trust in Christ. Our master is Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. We are found in him. We're given all this like power and availability to like now be conformed. We're like, I want this apprenticeship. I want it, right? Like, you saved me. You took me out of darkness. You translated me into your kingdom, into your dear son, the kingdom of light. And I'm in. I want to be an apprentice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be at your feet. So let's talk a little bit about that. Oh, and one other thing, let's make a side note here of, I wanted to also say this, what is not a disciple? And actually in Matthew chapter 10, which is a really good chapter to like use as a guide, it says a disciple is not above his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
A disciple or a student is not above his teacher or his master. Right. And then in Luke 6:40, it says it's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher.
Yeah.
So
those are amazing verses.
It's already enough to be like your master. You know, it's like the devil wanted to be like God.
Yeah.
You know, like he wanted to be above God. Right. That's the heart of iniquity, the heart of sin, the heart of flesh, the heart of the world. But like, The born again believer, the repented heart, the new heart says, I have a master who I would like to be like. I want to be transformed. Yeah. I want to be renewed. Like, so that apprenticeship takes shape, right? And he's like, I'm willing, I'm ready.
Mm.
And so What's not a disciple is someone who's like looking to overtake, mm-hmm. to replace.
Yeah.
You know, like to be better.
Yeah.
That's like, that's the selfish ambitions that come from the heart.
Yeah.
The fallen heart of man, right? The fleshly heart of man.
Mm-hmm.
But then the spiritual side, the new man, wants to be like Christ in order to like,
yes,
to affect the world around him.
There's so, definitely an element of submission, which is also, I think, a dirty word in 2023.
Definitely.
But there is an element of submission that is required.
Mm.
It's mandatory. Like,
yeah,
that is the nature of the relationship of a master and his disciple, mm-hmm. is submission. And I think it would be helpful maybe for us to make a switch now from, mm-hmm. we're talking about the decision to have Christ as our master and Lord, and that to be a born again Christian is to make that decision. But then there's this question of discipleship today.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it like? Why should we pursue discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Because we're not talking necessarily only about making a commitment to being a follower of Jesus Christ, but we're looking at the practical, like you were saying earlier, the practical steps that will lead us in sanctification,
yes.
and will lead us in training,
yes.
in our Christian life. Because yes. it's training. An apprenticeship is a training.
That's such a good point.
For a purpose, like for right. a future.
So let's think about that. So you see your master, you're like, That's what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want to be. That's what I want, right? Like yeah. I see in the master
yep.
what I desire, right? And like we know, like when
and
you
not in like a coveting, not no. in a jealousy, not in, right. we're not talking about unhealthy idolotry.
We're talking about in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
But also, but I'm saying we can also consider like the practical aspect
right,
of
right.
people who aren't Christ,
yes.
but who are imitators
we,
of him.
We talked about this earlier. We wanted to give a personal example. Some of you guys might know Pastor Mati. When we graduated from Bible school, we immediately, and even during Bible school, we watched him in Silver Spring when he lived here in America for a
pastor,
year.
Pastor, who is Pastor,
Pastor
Mati?
Pastor
Mati there's people
Servio
who don't know.
Is a pastor in the Greater Grace Church here worldwide. That is a church planting pastor. He's from the country of Finland. And he is actively in another country in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that, but
I wouldn't.
So, and his ministry has been church planning, discipleship making.
Yeah, disciple that, making, yeah.
And also starting and teaching Bible schools, teaching in Bible schools and promoting church growth in Central Asia, the Middle East and Eastern Europe. And
for decades.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So when we graduated from Bible school, we were like, I want to know a master,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that master was like, you know, someone that, like we said before, we are aspiring to be like.
Yeah.
So we made a decision in our last year of Bible school. I remember having our little outreach team and telling them like, listen, next year I'm going to move on because I really want to spend time with him. I want to watch him.
Yeah.
I want to listen to him. I want to learn from him. I want to serve him.
Yeah.
I want to like be with him.
Yes.
And
we were like, even if we can just carry his bags.
I remember saying that. I was like, well, let's just carry his bags.
Like, let's do that and make him brownies sometimes.
We'll clean the church and we'll yep. just be there for him. We can make him dinner.
Whatever you need. We'll just be there.
And of course,
there.
Like, that's not what we did. We did that and 10 times more.
Yeah, we did.
We learned to love people.
Yeah.
We learned to know Christ in a personal, yep. real
and
way.
And we did it by watching him and doing it alongside of him.
And number two,
yeah.
not only was it that we were singling him out. Remember, guys, this decision to be a disciple is yours.
Yeah.
It's your decision. Christ yeah. is like, will you follow me? You
yeah.
know, will you go with them? Like when he said the hard saying in John 6.
Yes.
Right? Will you also go with them?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is your sin? Peter, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
who do they say that they are, that yes. I am?
There's
who
freedom. You, there's right? so much so freedom there.
The second thing was, it is our choice. Yeah. No one's twisting your arm and telling you, you got to do it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, maybe the Holy Spirit is. Maybe a good friend is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a loving spiritual friend is. But number two, it's a personal decision
yeah.
that I choose to pursue, to like, it's intentional,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the apprentice comes in, he puts off what he has,
yep.
right? Like all that he knows, yep. like in the world of building,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you got to put on a tool belt. It's yep. like, I got to put on a tool belt. Like I have a belt for my pants.
Yeah.
I don't have a belt for tools. Like what is that? A master would tell you, put on your belt.
Yeah.
Like for this purpose.
Yeah.
So, and we did that.
And I would say the other point to that is it's also can be at your own personal cost, right? Like there is a cost.
That's a good point.
Yeah. To discipleship. Yeah. Yeah. And you have to, like it says in the Bible, you have to count that cost,
mm-hmm.
consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, yes, I count everything else as loss for the sake of this, and recognize that that's going to involve sacrifice and that you're choosing that. Nobody, you know, the Pastor Mati didn't force us to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We chose it, and we recognized that it's going to come at some personal cost, maybe some discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like, we're not talking about missionaries. We're talking about the life of a disciple is one where yes. you are taking up your cross. Like it is sacrifice.
Right.
It's putting aside perhaps you have, you know, expectations, dreams, and goals, and putting them at the feet of Jesus, which mm-hmm. we also saw Pastor Mati do
yeah.
With his love for art. He's yeah. an artist, and he made those sacrifices. We saw and learn from him in that way too. So, all that to say, I liked the phrasing of this question, why should we pursue discipleship? Mm. Because exactly what you're saying, it's your choice
yes.
to pursue. Jesus said, follow me. And yes. then he didn't use his power to drag them behind him. He said, follow me. And they left their nets or they left, you know, mm-hmm. their home and followed him. They chose it. And in that, they knew that there was going to be a sacrifice.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like there could be, and I have heard it in different settings where somebody said, well, I wish that somebody would disciple me.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the heart behind that. It's good. You should want to be discipled. But at the same time, it is your choice. And it's a pursuit.
Yes.
So don't expect somebody who's on the way, they're like walking with the Lord, doing the work, to like stop and like court you, you yeah. know, like pursue you.
Right. Like it is in the like, world, right? Like
in the
you're
world,
talented,
like,
you're gifted.
Right. Like headhunters, like, yeah. hey, I see you, you've got these gifts and this,
I'm
you would be great.
That guy.
We've got a package for you. Here's the package. Like people right. will give you a package, you know, an offer, an offer letter. And it's like, what benefits come with this?
Yeah. I'm going to look at all my
these
offers.
Are the benefits. And it's like, I've got a couple offers and I'm, you know, this is not that. It is like the exact opposite of that. It's a death. Mm-hmm. Like it's a taking up of your cross.
Well,
but then there are benefits.
So let's keep going right there, right?
Okay.
So the question, why should we pursue discipleship, is in view of eternity.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So we're talking about the Master of Masters, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're talking about our final destination, right? Like this is we already know. Like, you know,
yeah.
you read the book of Revelations, we know we're going to be, we know who we're going to be with. We know what we're going to do
yeah.
and how we're going to celebrate and what it's going to be like. So in view of that,
yeah.
in view of eternity, in view of that, the master of that eternity,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
we would want to have him be the master, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If that was like the end all.
Yeah.
Like if eternity and all of the promises of God given to us here and now on the earth,
yeah,
which we do have,
mm-hmm.
are presented to you and I, and you're given the choice to choose, wouldn't you choose that master?
Yeah.
With knowing what you're going to get from it.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to get suffering. You're going to get persecution.
Right.
Right? But be of good cheer, right? Because I've overcome him and I have a plan for your life.
Mm.
So the pursuit of him, it's all because we're heading to eternity.
Yeah, we have it in view. I like that.
So I think that can help you if you're like on the edge, like you're on the fence of mm-hmm. like, should I go all in at this church? Should I jump into this program?
Mm.
Here's a little plug for our newcomers program that's coming out in a month. We'll give you more
here
details
in Baltimore, later, for those
but
who are in Baltimore,
Baltimore,
yeah,
all those listening that might be a newcomer to the church in Greater Grace.
Yeah.
We're gonna open up a class to you guys on Tuesday nights at the cafe at 7
Listen
o'clock.
Listen to you.
I know.
Shameless
it's just coming.
Plug.
It is. But we want you to join the newcomers and consider this and see what it is and meet disciples, meet loving people. And so how can I become why should I pursue it? Because that's who I'm going in that direction.
Yeah.
And why would I resist it? You know, like should I pursue it? Like, or should I, you know, like what's the opposite of pursue? Like resist it?
Yeah.
Go the other way?
Pursue something else?
Yeah. Do my own thing?
Yep.
And I think that's like the loving, truthful words. And let's just go there and read it. Because we got to read.
I have a verse in mind. Where were you going to read?
I was thinking about Luke 14.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about 2 Corinthians. Let's do yours first.
Okay. You do. Okay. 2 Corinthians. Okay. I'll do Luke. Okay.
Okay.
So there is a cost, right?
Yeah.
There's a cost of discipleship in it. And Jesus makes it very clear to the great crowd that accompanied him. And it's in Luke 14. 25, it says, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, and the word hate, it's kind of like the word submit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this scary word that no one, you know, so few really want to say it. And it can be used in a different context. But in this, it is perfectly placed by the word, by the mouth of Jesus,
yeah.
by the master.
Yes.
He says, and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, child, brother, sister, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple, my pupil, my learner,
yeah,
my one
my
that
apprentice.
Follows me, my apprentice.
Yeah.
And this verse has been chewed on and meditated on by all of us.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in Turkey having to say this to people who are madly in love with family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for all of us, we're madly in love with family. For some of us, it's easier to be like, yeah, I could easily
some
hate
like,
my
I'm
mom
cool.
and dad. I'm good with
peace out, family.
Like, no, we don't mean it that way.
No.
But in the Greek word, this word hate means to love less.
Yeah.
What do you love the most? And it's directly connected to Matthew 6:24, that you can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
One must be above the other.
Right.
And it is a positional thing. So who is in the highest place, in the highest regard in your life? And Jesus is saying, especially to the people of that day, who were definitely in the master category,
mm-hmm.
right? Like these people he mentioned were in the master category. Like your child was your master.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, and now we're
your
seeing,
mother, your father.
And it's so applicable today.
Your right? wife.
Right. That's today. You're not my master.
I mean, I guess
Knock
not.
It off.
But you know what? I think it's worth that verse is very important, especially as a woman. You have to grapple with what Jesus is saying there.
Yeah.
And I know we have often talked about it that there is, I think, a fear perhaps that could be in anyone's heart, but I'm thinking specifically of women, that being a disciple is not for us. because sure. who hates their kids? Who hates their husband? Who hates their mom? We are designed to be nurturers to our children. Mm. That's like given to us by God. So there's like a little bit of like seems like we're missing some harmony here. Like, why would Jesus say this to all of his disciples?
Out of character.
And I think it's so useful to understand that when he talks about hate here, he's talking about priority, that you said to love less. Christ is asking for our total devotion. He's saying, love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength.
This is precision.
In this you fulfill all the law. Like, we are called to have Christ as our master. And if anything threatens to take his place, we want to hate that. Yeah. We want to despise it. And I think for me, this was a really helpful thing to study and pray humbly and think about and recognize that, practically speaking, what this means is that if I am a disciple of Christ, if I put him in his rightful place as King of Kings, as the love of loves, the song of songs, like it means that he's like higher than I have many loves, but he is my highest love. And what that means is that I'm going to have health and balance and wisdom and grace in all the other things and people that I love. Right. And we talked about that. Augustine said that we should have our loves rightly ordered. And if there's disorder in your loves, it's destructive.
Right.
And as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a coworker, in any role that you're playing, to have Jesus as your master is going to help you
with your father,
with your relationships,
right, with
your
family.
Roles. It's going to bring health and life. You're not going to be controlling. You're not going to be fearful and anxious. You're not going to be manipulative. You're not going to be self-centered. All why? Because Jesus is your master. He is your love, the number one.
Yes.
And I just like that practical outworking of this that you ditch your family and you don't care about your kids.
Right.
Like, no. And obviously within the context of the entire scripture, the Lord is never saying that, but he is challenging them in a harsh, very direct way to consider this question.
Right.
Who do you serve?
Because Jesus is the only one that knew the heart of man. And he knew the masters that were like in their little hearts.
Yes.
And that's why he
calls that idolatry.
Yes. And that's like when we read the Bible knows us best.
Yeah.
Like it hits us. The Holy Spirit says like, come on, man.
And can I say this? This is a good segue to this next question.
Mm-hmm.
What sets a disciple apart from a nominal Christian?
Yes.
And I think it's this. It's this exact thing.
Mm.
A nominal Christian, you know, because I'm a scholar, I use dictionary.com to find the definition of nominal. And actually, I was surprised because I kind of thought I knew what nominal means. And I liked the definition says existing in name only.
Mm.
So if you are a nominal Christian, it means that in name you say, I am a Christian.
Yes.
But that is the only way in which you are a Christian, in name only. And a disciple is somebody who, like you said, from the heart has been transformed, and his or her entire life is submitted to their master, who is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's very different.
Right.
And your lives will look very different.
Yeah. And if you keep reading in this Luke 14, that there's a connection there. It says in verse 33, so therefore, if anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple.
Hmm.
So the master, Christ Jesus, he wants his name, which he wants that you would renounce all the other names, right?
Yeah.
Like all the other things. Renounce meaning like it really is like the Greek word is apostaso. Like it means to like forsake, turn from.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, in our society here in today's world, like we love names. We can take on many names. Mm-hmm. We're like dropping names, you know. We are many hats, many,
yeah.
we can wear them all, you know, and it speaks to like the devil's program, right? To dilute and to cover up the true thing, the exclusive, I mean, the real truth of Christ, right? With many, many names and many, many counterfeits. And we see that those warnings in the epistles.
Yeah.
So what we're saying to you guys is that if you pursue discipleship, it's one name,
mm-hmm.
one person. And actually, like, this pursuit is like, it actually gets easy. Okay, sure, there's nothing that, like, we're not promising anything. Jesus said that. He's like, mm-hmm. that's not what I'm promising. But we are saying that you don't have to wear all those names.
Yeah.
You don't have to be all those people.
Yes.
In discipleship, it's like, that's all gone.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, coming into Bible school with all the baggage and all the names and all the personalities and, mm-hmm. and things I wanted to be.
Yeah.
When Christ was like, I'm going to make it simple for you. It's just you and me, right? Like in John chapter 21, Peter is concerned about John. And he's like, where's this guy going? Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like, what is it to you? Follow me. So, you know, this like, what does it look like? You know, I think for a disciple, it's much easier than a nominal Christian,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a nominal Christian's like, treading water. He's like, you know, we're out there like disciples are doing backstrokes and like the butterfly, you know, the really difficult things with ease.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is because he's made a decision.
Spiritually speaking, right? Because I think that's the, when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking a disciple has committed their whole life and they've recognized that in the world, they will have tribulation
mm-hmm.
because they're following their master. And Jesus had said, if you follow me, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I think it's Paul who said that I count this as a momentary light affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through years of persecution.
Yes.
So it's this different economy, like we talk about, that when you have that view of eternity, when eternity is in view and the joy of walking with your Lord is your joy,
mm-hmm.
and it's not from any other thing, then the fear of rejection by the world,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about shame, I think,
was a good one.
It talks about that we are not ashamed of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and I love that this verse, I did write it down. Where did I write it down? That we would not be ashamed at the end of our life when we mm-hmm. stand before God.
Right.
And that is because we have lived our life in view of eternity and not in view of the temporary passing world that we live in. And I wanted to read, it was 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says mm-hmm. that we would be a worker who has no need to be ashamed.
Right. Yes.
You found it. Can you read the whole verse? It's so good.
2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
That is a call to every single Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy to, when I think about why would a person be a nominal Christian? Meaning that they've made the decision perhaps to follow Christ, but then they've fallen, they've been distracted maybe, they've fallen away, they have chosen other priorities, they have not, you know, like what we've been talking about. And I think one of that is that there is a lot of shame to be had, right? Or fear, that lack of success,
right.
Giving up on worldly opportunities, the ambitions that we have for success in our lives. And everybody measures that differently. For someone, it could be success could be just having, you know, a husband and some kids and a happy, comfortable life.
Yes.
Again, none of these things are in and of themselves bad. But if they are outside, if they are not submitted to your master.
Yes.
then they fall outside of good work.
Let's stay on this thing of shame, because this is really good. Remember we were saying earlier, so to the Christian, okay, like if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you think about the joy and happiness that's in Pilgrim's life. You should read Pilgrim's Progress. It's really amazing. The decisions he makes promote the joy and fruit of his life, right? And those around whom who don't seek and obey the evangelist, they go away sorrowfully. They're sad, right? And that's like Luke. It reminded me of Luke 18 when Jesus talks to the rich young ruler. And it says that he got sad when he asked him to like follow him by selling all that he had. Remember, it says he wept. I mean, he left sad.
Yeah.
He returned.
He was sad.
Now, today, like maybe there's some of you listening who are like, you are sad and sorrowful. Like I remember being sad and sorrowful, like really before I made the decision to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
But from that moment, when you become a disciple, sorrow's gone.
Yeah.
Shame's gone.
Right.
Like you're living in a, like becoming a disciple is so freeing, guys. That's what we're encouraging everyone to think about and ponder.
Yeah.
Right? Like Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I am not ashamed because I know whom I believe and I know what he's able to do.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep that to the day of like his return. And he's going to do everything. He's going to complete it all.
Mm.
So,
and you
in
get
a way,
to witness that.
In a way, it's like, do you guys want to live this new life where there isn't shame anymore?
Yeah.
Apprentice, this master is not going to shame you. This apprentice is not going to be like, be affected that way, like the way he is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your apprenticeship currently, because of your master currently, is producing a lot of shame.
Yeah.
And I think that also speaks to the divided heart. Like when you're tossed to and fro, when you're on the fence, when you're living in the gray, it is shameful. Hey, what are you doing with
stressful.
Your day? Well, I'm kind of like doing this, but I'm doing that and I'm doing this, right? Like, when you're like single eye,
when you lay your head down on the pillow at the end of the day,
right?
There isn't a sense that like today I walked the whole day with this single focus. Mm-hmm. When you're kind of like back and forth, whereas you're saying if you're a disciple, then you don't have to ever wonder that,
right?
Right.
The whole idea of putting on a mask, the whole idea of putting on like this facade of who
you
are.
The way maybe a nominal Christian would.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's like, it is expressed in a really practical way, like clothing or like who you hang out with. Like, come on, guys. Like, I remember, I mean, I was just I kind of grew up in the church. So I was super familiar and I was way off.
Yeah.
But then like when I converted and repented and like came to Christ, I was hanging around with every person at every age, no matter what they look like, where they
you
came
did not
from.
Care.
And I loved it. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Where has this been all my life?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been living in shame about my little groups and circles because my masters were falling through on me left and right. They never came through for me. So this discipleship with Christ, this master.
Yeah.
This apprenticeship is like so freeing for those who maybe haven't experienced it.
And I would add to that, that not only is it freeing, and I know we have to end soon.
Yeah. What, how much time, more time do we have?
We're over. Okay.
We're already over.
But, and I want to read these verses too, but, one of the things that we always say it's like a best kept secret, but when you live this way, like, for example, we got to walk alongside an amazing man of God. We did get to carry his bags. We did, you know, mop the floors, but we also got to witness like the work of God as we did that.
As a reward.
And that is the reward that nobody else is offering.
Yeah.
That you get to see like the living God who holds the universe together with the power of his word is working today.
Yes.
On the earth, and you get to witness it and maybe even be a part of it.
So you're describing eternity.
It's like we said before, this is the good work, and it's in light of eternity, there's nothing better.
Mm.
So can I just read 2 Corinthians 6? I think this sums up what are like the actions and lifestyle and what to expect for a life of a disciple okay. in light of eternity. So 2 Corinthians 6, and you could start from the beginning, but I won't for sake of time, but it says that, "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything." To be a disciple of Christ is to live as having nothing, but actually we possess everything.
Wow.
Amen.
Great words.
All right, I think that's all we got for today.
Yes, that was awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us. And please don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week and tomorrow as we just keep talking on this topic of what it is to be a disciple and discipleship.
Yes, amazing.
Thanks.
God bless.